flow through this church as you raced across the waters of creation, as you gave life to every being with your breath, as you breathed life into humanity, so empower us now. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to open yourself to the movement of the Spirit around you. It might not be a nudge or a pinch, but maybe it's a subtle change in the air around you, maybe a little warmer than a few moments ago. For just a moment, let the Holy Spirit embrace you. Let it fill you as you breathe. Now, with your eyes still closed, I want you to picture the space that you're in and the people around you. As you have felt the Spirit move around you, I want you to imagine that same Spirit surrounding your neighbors. Maybe it looks like flame. Maybe it looks like water or light. Whatever you see, imagine that Spirit moving through this place. Embrace that presence as we continue. You can open your eyes now. We celebrate this day of Pentecost because it symbolizes for us the day of our spiritual birth. It was on this day that people gathered. It was on this day that the disciples spoke, and it was on this day that the Holy Spirit descended. We'll talk about that later. Though we take this one day to mark the coming of the Advocate, the descending of the Spirit, the psalmist reminds us of another very important truth. Never was there a time in all creation when the Holy Spirit was not present. We're reminded in this reading that though the Holy Spirit set fire to the hearts of thousands that day, the world has been living on the breath of the Spirit since the beginning. Right at the beginning of Genesis, we hear of the Spirit moving over the formless void that was pre-creation. And like a flash of fire, life sprang. And it was sustained by the Spirit, led by the Spirit. What happens on Pentecost is like a recreation, where that spark of life is reignited, that that fire might burn more brightly again. The good news that we find in the 104th Psalm is not just the creative power of God's love, but the recreative power of that same love. It's a reminder that the world is still moving and growing, that the Holy Spirit is still breathing life into clay molds. But like I said last week, the Holy Spirit is just a guide. It is an awesome and powerful force in this universe when we choose to listen to its call. Once more, I want you to close your eyes. Picture again this place and these people. Picture again the Holy Spirit in your midst. This time, I don't want you to just watch it as it moves around you and your neighbors. I want you to take a deep breath. Feel the warmth of that holy fire flow into you. Allow it to cascade down from your lips all the way to your toes. This is not a cleansing fire. You're still you, beautiful imperfections and all. This is a signal fire, a beacon that shines from deep within you to light the way before you. Take another breath. As you exhale, watch as the Holy Spirit goes before you in this life, guiding you and supporting you every step of the way. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, holy fire, light anew the spark of life within us. Give us the courage to face the unknown and the strength to support one another, knowing that you are ever with us. Amen.
Let us pray. Holy Spirit, continue to be with us in this time. Empower, enliven us, that we might live out the will of God in this world and in our very lives. Amen.
So I've asked this question a few times, both of the kids and of you. Why is today so special? I mean, sure, there's going to be cake today, and there's going to be a meeting after the service today. But what else is important? I mean, yes, it's Pentecost. But do we know what that means? We know it as the spiritual birth of Christianity. A day where we were born out of what was and into what might be. More than that, though, today is the fulfillment of a promise. Not long ago, from his followers' point of view, Christ told his disciples that he would not leave them orphaned, that they would not take their journey alone. In just last week's reading, these are Christ's words. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. Christ, the Word incarnate, may be gone from the world, but the Holy Spirit, holy wisdom, the holy light is present with us. This is what people were celebrating on that day. This is what people were witnessing to on that day of Pentecost, that first Pentecost. People were excited. They were being baptized. They were embracing one another. And they were proclaiming loudly their faith in the risen Christ. In one passion-filled day, the souls of thousands were set aflame by the Holy Spirit, giving them guidance, giving them purpose, giving them hope. They were so excited that people thought they were drunk. People accused them of drinking too much wine. Why can't we be like that? Why aren't we walking the streets, shouting and sharing the good news of the risen Christ and God's great and eternal love for us? Why don't our hearts burn with the same passion as that of our ancestors? Why aren't people accusing us of being drunk on the Holy Spirit? Well, the people in those first days of the church saw their future in a very different way from how we might see our own. Our future, more often than not, is uncertain. We look into our past, and it is there that we see our joy, our times of celebration. It is in the past where we often look and find our triumphs, full churches, oh, the good old days. The present is such a gloomy time, and the future, if there is one, is even more depressing. In a very real way, it can feel like we're moving from a place of hope into one of fear, and so it's hard for us to be joyful, even on this, the birth of our church. For those founding groups of the church, it was a very different journey. Their past, from the time of the death of their brother Jesus, had been filled with danger. Any time that they were caught sharing their faith, they were risking their lives. Now, their future was still pretty grim. We know that they would end up being persecuted, thrown in jail, even killed for proclaiming their faith in Christ. Even after this day of Pentecost, we knew that their future was bad. But they didn't know that. They didn't know what was coming. What they knew in that moment, on that day, was that they were surrounded by others who eagerly followed Christ, surrounded by the Holy Spirit. Regardless of what future actually held for them, for these people, they were actually moving from that dark, locked room of fear to a whole world of hope. They were present at the birthing of our faith, and so it seemed like the only thing that they had before them was a future. They were just at the beginning. For us, it's hard to imagine a future. It's hard to imagine what the church might look like as we move forward. Truth is that the Holy Spirit has been calling the church to rediscover itself, to renew itself for a long time now. But it's not that we haven't been trying. We've just been relying on what we know. We've been trying to take what worked then, in the past, and we've been trying to apply it to the now, a very different place, a very different world. When I think again about those first days of the church, when I think about the hope they must have had for the future, I can't help but wonder if in the midst of that hope, there was still trepidation. Even though their movement was new and growing, filled with life, they were still marching towards the unknown. They were leaving behind something that was familiar, something that was comfortable, and following the Holy Spirit into uncharted territory. But they did it. They banded together and they faced the unknown together. We're actually living in a very similar situation. We've been called by the Spirit to be the church in a world that has changed around us. Like our first century sisters and brothers, we have been called to a place that is unfamiliar and altogether uncomfortable. But like our brothers and sisters, we stand on the brink of something amazing. The birth of the church. A rebirth, really. Like those first baptized by that holy flame, we have to be ready to follow Christ, even if it means leaving behind what church used to be. We blame the low-burning fire on low numbers, on failing budgets or deficits. We blame our struggles on a world of apathy. The church is not stained glass or stone. Like I said to the kids earlier, the church is and always has been the people. And the faith of even one person has the power to rekindle that flame. Is there more than one person here today? Is there more than one person here today?
Yes.
Are you a people of faith born of a miracle and led by the Spirit? Come on, people! We need more energy than this if we're going to move into the future. Otherwise, we're going to be left behind. Are we a people of faith?
Yes!
What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? The flame in our hearts burns the same as the heat and the passion as those that had blazed in the hearts of our ancestors, our mothers and fathers of this faith. If such a light shines from within us, then let us not gather huddled around a candle trying to protect a light that is fading. Let us be a beacon of hope in a world of fear. Let us go with Christ, led by the Holy Spirit, and set the church aflame with our faith. Doesn't matter how many of us there are, so long as we live in our faith together. The way before us might not always be clear. More than often than not, it is uncertain. But if we travel together, no matter how few or how many, the flame that burns within us as people of Christ can never die. Let us pray. O flame of passion, burn deep within us. Empower us to be the church in this world and to have the courage to discover what that means in a world that's changed around us. Guide us to our full potential, that we might proclaim often and loudly the good news of God's great love for creation. Let those around us think us drunk on the Spirit as we move into this world. Amen. As we move back into our time of hymn requests...